Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
It is unusual for former presidents to be indicted, but that's because it's unusual for former presidents to commit crimes. If Donald Trump didn't want to be indicted, he shouldn't have done the thing.
Donald Trump is expected to be arrested in New York on Tuesday. He'll become the first former U.S. president to ever be charged with a crime. We'll speak to the nation's justice correspondent, Ellie Mistal, on Trump's indictment and much more. Then, a former Guantanamo prisoner says likely presidential candidate, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, personally watched him be force-fed and tortured while DeSantis was working as a Navy attorney. We'll speak with Mansour Adaifi. He was imprisoned without charge at Guantanamo for 14 years and 7 months.
Force feeding was used as a torture to break the hunger strike. While I was being force fed, Ron DeSantis, medical staff and camp officers, they were watching me when the guards nurses used to pour can of insure in the feeding bag one after another. And I was screaming, shouting, you know, crying. And Ron DeSantis bent over and he said he should start eat. I saw him literally, he was smiling and laughing with the camp officers and medical staff.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Ukraine's military says Russian forces are very far from seizing the eastern town of Bakhmut after Russia's Wagner mercenary group said Sunday it raised the Russian flag over the decimated city's administration building. This followed a weekend of heavy fighting in Bakhmut and other parts of eastern Ukraine. In the nearby town of Kostiantivka, at least 6 people were reported killed from Russian shelling. This is a 69-year-old survivor.
Me and my neighbor ran out to the hallway and we hugged each other very tightly. She's bigger than me and I hugged her very tight. And we stood there while everything was shaking because of the explosions. I have no idea we have survived. There were 6 casualties. 6 people just died.
In Russia, authorities say they arrested a woman, Daria Tripova, in connection with a bombing Sunday, which killed the prominent pro-war military blogger Vladlen Tatarsky in St. Petersburg. The Russian ambassador to Belarus said Moscow will station tactical nuclear weapons near Belarus's western border with NATO nations. NATO members will meet this week in Brussels, including Finland, which will officially become the newest member of the military alliance Tuesday. Meanwhile, Russia has assumed the presidency of the UN Security Council for the month in a move blasted by Ukraine, as President Volodymyr Zelensky accused the body of bankruptcy. The last time Russia held the rotating presidency was in February of 2022, the month it invaded Ukraine. In Finland, the Prime Minister Sanna Marin has conceded after her center-left Social Democratic Party came in third in Sunday's election behind right-wing nationalist rivals. The National Coalition Party, Finland's main conservative party, won the most votes, though not enough to rule on its own, and will have to form a coalition government. The NCP ran on promises of fixing the economy. A series of severe storms fueled an estimated 11 tornadoes across the southern and midwestern U.S. over the weekend, killing at least 32 people. At least 1 million customers lost power. Homes, businesses, other structures were destroyed or badly damaged in states including Arkansas, Alabama, Indiana, Mississippi, Tennessee, and Iowa. An Arkansas high school teacher surveyed the damage in her classroom Sunday.
I've taught here 25 years, and this is my classroom, and When I walked out yesterday, I didn't realize that would be the last time I would teach in this classroom. We got out at 1:30, which was such a God blessing from our superintendent, because otherwise kids would have been on buses and teachers would have still been here, and so that would have been even more devastating.
More severe weather in the affected regions is forecast this week, as scientists and the Biden administration warn such events are worsening in gravity and frequency. In Afghanistan, the Taliban has shut down a woman-run radio station for broadcasting songs and music during the month of Ramadan. Sadia Banawan, which means women's voice in Dari, was the only station led by women founded a decade ago. It's the latest rights attack from the Taliban, as women and girls have also been banned from education beyond the sixth grade and most jobs, with the United Nations warning the growing discrimination and systemic violence may amount to gender persecution, a crime against humanity. Israeli police shot and killed a Palestinian man at the entrance to the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Israeli-occupied East Jerusalem Saturday. Witnesses say soldiers fired more than 20 rounds in less than a minute after the man tried to prevent police from harassing a woman who they'd stopped on her way to the mosque. The victim, 26-year-old Mohammed Khaled Al-Asibi, was a Palestinian citizen of Israel who had just finished medical school. In the occupied West Bank, a Palestinian man was fatally shot by an Israeli soldier hours later near the town of Beit Umar. Witnesses say Israeli forces would not let medics access the injured 24-year-old who bled to death. The killings came as the cabinet of Israel's far-right Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said it had approved a plan to establish a new National Guard under the control of Itamar Ben-Gvir, Israel's ultra-nationalist national security minister, who once was convicted of racist incitement against Palestinians and supporting a terrorist group. In Syria, state media is reporting that Israeli strikes on Homs province wounded 5 Syrian soldiers early Sunday. It was at least the 9th airstrike by Israel inside Syria since the start of the year. In Iran, police have arrested a mother and daughter after a viral video showed a man attacking them in a store for not covering their hair in public in the northeastern city of Shandiz. The video shows the man confronting the two women as they wait in line at a shop. The man, who was also apparently later arrested, appears to shout, then pours what appears to be a tub of yogurt over their heads. The women have since been charged with committing a forbidden act and flouting Iran's dress code, which requires women wear a hijab. On Saturday, the Iranian president, Ibrahim Raisi, reiterated women must always wear the hijab, calling it a religious necessity. The order came even as millions of Iranian women and girls continue to routinely ignore the requirement, especially in Iran's big cities. This is Malika, a 16-year-old in Tehran.
You can't throw a tub of yogurt on a woman's head and think you did something great and to guide someone in the right direction. It's that person's business. She wanted to dress like that, and she dressed however she wanted. It's no one's business.
Twitter's billionaire owner Elon Musk has ordered the social media platform to remove a badge showing verified status for the New York Times after the paper's editors refused to pay for its Twitter Blue service. This comes after Twitter instituted a pay-for-play system in which companies, nonprofits, and government institutions have to pay $1,000 a month to keep check marks showing their accounts have been verified. So far, only a few dozen accounts have seen their badges removed. Musk signaled he'd remove the Times checkmark over its coverage, which he blasted in a tweet as propaganda. Other prominent accounts, reportedly including those of White House staffers, have refused to pay for Twitter Blue. That's led to fears over misinformation and hate speech by imposter accounts on Twitter ahead of the 2024 presidential elections. Donald Trump's 2024 presidential campaign raised over $4 million in 24 hours following the news last week of his indictment by a Manhattan grand jury connected to a 2016 hush money scheme. Trump released a fundraising video Sunday, 2 days before his expected arraignment in New York.
The election was rigged and stolen, but now we're going to take back our country in 2024. If you're doing well because all of the things that I've done have brought you wealth and prosperity, or at least you're extremely comfortable, it would be really great if you could contribute to our campaign.
Trump is expected to speak from Mar-a-Lago Tuesday evening following his arraignment. Invitations have already gone out. Over the weekend, Trump lashed out against New York Supreme Court Justice Juan Merchan, who's overseeing his criminal case, claiming he, quote, hates me. It's the same judge who presided over the prosecution of the Trump Organization and CFO Alan Weisselberg. Meanwhile, former Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson announced Sunday he'll run for the Republican presidential nomination. Hutchinson called on Trump to withdraw from the race due to his legal troubles. As Governor, Hutchinson signed a trigger law banning abortion in 2019 and made Arkansas the first state to impose work requirements for Medicaid recipients, costing over 18,000 people to access the program before a court blocked the requirement. Millions of U.S. residents are poised to lose Medicaid health insurance as protections put in place at the start of COVID-19 pandemic begin to lapse. Under a bipartisan deal reached by Congress late last year, states are allowed to remove Medicaid recipients from the rolls as early as April 1st unless they prove they still qualify. Some residents of five states, Arizona, Arkansas, Idaho, New Hampshire, and South Dakota, have already been kicked off Medicaid. Part of what the Biden administration estimates will ultimately be 15 million people losing benefits, including millions of children. The FDA has approved the opioid overdose drug Narcan to be sold over the counter. Narcan, a quick-acting naloxone nasal spray, could become available in pharmacies as well as convenience stores and gas stations by late summer. Opioid overdoses killed over 81,000 people in 2021. It's not yet known how much manufacturer Emergent BioSolutions will charge for Narcan. Advocates are calling for the life-saving drug to be distributed for free. Democratic Senator John Fetterman of Pennsylvania has checked out of Walter Reed Hospital after receiving inpatient treatment for depression since mid-February. Fetterman is scheduled to return to the Senate April 17th after the two-week holiday recess. In a statement, Senator Fetterman urged others with mental health challenges to seek help. He spoke candidly about his depression during an interview on CBS's Sunday Morning.
It's like you just won the biggest, you know, race in the country. And the whole thing about depression is that objectively you may have won, but depression can absolutely convince you that you actually lost. And that's exactly what happened. And that was the start of a downward spiral.
Senator Fetterman had a stroke while he was running for the Senate against Mehmet Oz, but still won. California will require half of all heavy trucks sold by 2035 to be electric as it moves to phase out diesel trucks. The Environmental Protection Agency on Friday granted waivers for California to set its own truck pollution standards that are stricter than federal ones. Last year, California passed a measure requiring all new passenger vehicles sold to be fully electric by 2035. Transportation accounts for some 40% of California's greenhouse gas emissions. Supporters of political prisoner Mumia Abu-Jamal are raising alarm after a judge on Friday denied his request for a new trial. Philadelphia Judge Lucretia Clemens dismissed evidence the case was tainted by judicial bias, police and prosecutorial misconduct, and that key witnesses were bribed or coerced. Mumia Abu-Jamal is 68 years old. He suffers from numerous health problems. The journalist and former Black Panther has maintained his innocence for the four decades he's been in prison after being convicted of murdering a police officer. A federal court blocked Tennessee's highly contested law targeting drag performance on Friday, just hours before it would have gone into effect. The temporary injunction came in response to a lawsuit filed by LGBTQ group Friends of Georgia's, which argued the legislation is overly broad and violates the First Amendment. The measure is the second major legislative attack on the trans community in Tennessee. The state also banned gender-affirming health care for trans youth last month. And queer and trans youth led actions across the United States Friday, marking International Transgender Day of Visibility and amid intensifying discrimination, violence and anti-trans laws pushed by Republicans. Here in New York, hundreds took to the streets in a march organized by NYC Youth for Trans Rights. Democracy Now! Producers Tamari Astudio and Maria Tarasena were there and spoke to 17-year-old Raven.
It is so amazing to look around and see people like me that have had the same experiences as me, who know what it's like to be trans. And it's so great to just, you know, watch everybody be happy and be themselves in a safe place. I'm the happiest I've been in a really, really long time here in this space with these people. And I think that it's so good for people who think that they're alone to know that they have people out there, people fighting for them, people fighting with them, people on their side. Because, like, a lot of them just don't have that. They go through so much, and gathering around, being able to look at people and hug people and talk to people that are like them is something that can really heal a heart.
And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. Coming up, the nation's justice correspondent, Ellie Mistal, on Donald Trump's indictment, his coming to New York today, his arrest tomorrow, and much more. Stay with us.
Second Civil War. You're telling folks to think about the children.
This State House Down by Maya Byrne and Paisley Fields, just released in response to anti-LGBTQIA plus legislation. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. On Tuesday, former President Donald Trump is expected to be arraigned in New York on undisclosed charges related to paying hush money to adult film star Stormy Daniels during the 2016 presidential campaign, just before Election Day. Trump will become the first former U.S. president to ever be charged with a crime. He's reportedly facing about 30 criminal counts related to business fraud, but Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg has yet to release the exact charges. The charges reportedly include at least one felony. Many expect many more. Trump's indictment comes as he is campaigning again for the 2024 presidential race. He has reportedly raised over $4 million in campaign donations since the indictment was announced. It was reported that he raised $4 million in the first 24 hours and then another at least $1 million since. On Friday, Trump decried the indictment as a, quote, witch hunt and attacked Judge Juan Merchan, claiming that he, quote, hates me. Merchan had previously presided over the trials of the Trump Organization and CFO Alan Weisselberg, who remains in prison today. Police in New York have already barricaded the court building and Trump Tower ahead of the possible protests. Republican Congressmember Marjorie Taylor Greene has said she's heading to New York to take part in protests against Trump's arrest. He will fly into New York today. After he's arrested, he is expected to fly back to Mar-a-Lago, and on Tuesday night, just after 8 p.m., is expected to hold a primetime news conference from his estate at Mar-a-Lago, or at least give a speech. Invitations have already gone out to his supporters. We are joined now by Ellie Mistal, the nation's justice correspondent, author of Allow Me to Retort, A Black Guy's Guide to the Constitution. Ellie's recent articles include, Donald Trump has been indicted. Don't get your hopes up. Ellie, why not?
Here we are, this indictment, which we still don't know all the details about, right? To a conviction, to prison or real accountability is a very long process and one that we don't know how it's going to turn out. As you pointed out, Amy, Donald Trump is likely to be indicted for charges relating to his hush money payments to actress Stormy Daniels in 2016, right? But 2016, that's an important date, right? Because the statute of limitations for campaign finance fraud, which is potentially one of the charges that is going to be in that indictment, is generally 5 years. That brings you to 2021. We are in 2023. So there are some timeline issues with these charges that we have to be concerned about that will, and here's the important thing, Amy, there's nothing I know about the statute of limitations or the legal technicalities that DA Alvin Bragg doesn't know, right? And there's a lot of things that Alvin Bragg knows that I don't know. But everything that I'm saying is what Trump's lawyers are going to say. There are going to be grounds for his appeals, both before trial and certainly if we ever get to the point where there is a trial and a conviction. So these will be opportunities for Trump to further delay the process, delay accountability, and ultimately delay justice.
Were you surprised by this indictment, both the timing, but also what you understand? Now, again, as you pointed out, it has not been unsealed. It could be unsealed at any point through to tomorrow when he's arraigned, when it's expected to be unsealed.
Was I surprised by I mean, I'm surprised this didn't happen in 2021. That Donald Trump allegedly committed these crimes, it's basically a matter of public record, right? We know that he paid the hush money to Daniels. We know that he lied about it in public. It's easy to infer that he lied about it on his business records based on the testimony of his former lawyer, Michael Cohen. So all of these charges, all of these allegations have been a matter of public record for some time now, and I have yet to hear a credible explanation for why the Southern District of New York did not bring, that's the federal law enforcement body in Manhattan, for why SDNY did not bring these charges in 2021 when Bill Barr, we assume, you know, did not allow charges to happen under his watch. But once Merrick Garland took over, why weren't these charges brought in 2021? And we don't have a good explanation for why former Manhattan DA Cyrus Vance didn't bring these charges in 2021 when the statute of limitations certainly hadn't run out yet. So the surprise is the timing of the charges, literally, not the charges themselves. These are things that many of us have already kind of baked in that Donald Trump did the deed. The question is, why wasn't he held accountable for that earlier when it might have been easier to do so?
This is one of Donald Trump's lawyers, Joe Tacopina, speaking on ABC's This Week with George Stephanopoulos.
He's gearing up for a battle. You know, this is something that obviously we believe is a political persecution, and I think people on both sides of the aisle believe that it's a complete abuse of power. He's a tough guy, George, as you know, and he's someone who's going to be ready for this fight. We're ready for this fight, and I look forward to moving this thing along as quickly as possible to exonerate him.
Your response, Ellie Mistal.
First of all, Donald Trump is not a tough guy. He is a whiny little punk. And we know that because if he was a tough guy, he would not be crying about political persecution and everybody's out to get me. And oh, no, no, he would be like, I didn't do it. Let's go. That's what a tough guy would do in this situation. He's got credible legal arguments. He would make those legal arguments and have his day in court. Instead, he's like, the judge is mad at me and I can't get a fit. That's not tough. All right. So that's number one. Number two, the thing that these people on the right keep pushing, this idea of like, if they can go after Donald Trump, they can go after you too. Yes. Yes. If you pay hush money to an actress to cover up an affair and then lie about it on your taxes, they can, in fact, go after you too. And in fact, they would have gone after you if you were a regular person. In fact, the only reason why they haven't gone after Trump to this point is political, right? The idea that he's being prosecuted now, that he's being indicted now because he's the president, no, no, no. He hasn't been indicted already because of his political stature and his political power. And now that, at least in New York, that's coming back around on him. And hopefully this is only the first of many indictments that Trump will be seeing over the course of 2023.
Let's talk about his attacks. I want to get to the judge. But first, Alvin Bragg, that picture that Donald Trump tweeted of himself holding a baseball bat and a picture of Alvin Bragg, the first African-American district attorney.
Look, Donald Trump always has smoke for people of color and for women who try to hold him accountable. We know the play. Everybody knows the play, okay? Everybody knows that he is going to try to dirty the waters, to try to chum the waters with this racially aggressive stuff, right? We know that he's that works for the exact same people, the exact same marks and dupes that gave this rich man $4 million of their money over the last week are the same people that go in for this kind of racialized tension that Donald Trump creates. So we know the play. I don't think that that play, that old play, that play that goes back to 1850, I don't think that's going to work particularly well in this case. I don't think it's going to matter very much in this case. Alvin Bragg is going to keep doing what he's doing. We've already seen how he's responded to the ridiculous requests for testimony from Jim Jordan and the MAGA Congress. We've already seen how Bragg's responded to that. I think he will keep on his path. I think
Talk about that. For people who aren't following this closely and the significance of the legislative branch of Congress, of the Congress member Jim Jordan, calling for Alvin Bragg to testify before his committee.
Yeah, so I mean, let's go back to the Constitution, which explains that we have a separation of powers in this country. Congress is the legislative branch. At the federal level, Alvin Bragg is a local law enforcement figure. There's no covalence there. There's no legislative purpose for Congress to bring Bragg into, haul him up to Congress to testify about, remember, indictments that are unsealed, that are sealed at this point. Jim Jordan doesn't even know what he's talking about. And Bragg made that point to him. There's absolutely no reason for Bragg to show up and testify. He won't show up and testify. But it's Trump supporters and Trump sycophants trying to muddy the waters with the appearance of impropriety. And again, Trump has legitimate legal defenses here. If he was tough, if any of his MAGA bros were tough, instead of doing all of this stuff, they would simply fight the charges as they are, right? Because they have an actual defense, but they don't want to make the actual defense. They want to do this chumming that we've seen. And, you know, Jim Jordan is one of the masters of that, of a person who abuses his power in Congress to try to advance MAGA causes. Alvin Bragg's not having any of that. I don't expect he will. But that's what I'm saying. Trump will throw a lot of stuff against the wall. I don't think a lot of it will stick. Where he's going to be benefited is from the fact that this will take a lot of time to go from indictments, let's say they're unsealed tomorrow, to an actual trial and an actual conviction. Trump can most likely do what he usually does, which is delay accountability until justice is denied.
Donald Trump wrote on Truth Social, his social media platform, Friday, "The judge assigned to my witch hunt case, a case that has never been charged before, hates me. His name is Juan Manuel Marchand, was handpicked by Bragg and the prosecutors, and is the same person who railroaded my 75-year-old former CFO, Alan Weisselberg, to take a plea deal. Plead guilty, even if you are not. 90 days, fight us in court, 10 years, life in jail. He strong-armed Alan, which a judge is not allowed to do, and treated my companies, which didn't plead, viciously, he said. He spelled Judge Marchand's name wrong. Judge Marchand, a Colombian-American. Talk about the significance of this.
I can't, because none of what he said is true. Like, none of it is true at all. There was no,